To be here with you as these, our sisters and brothers, take this next and important step in their commitment to follow Jesus Christ throughout their lives. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by all of us here this morning, but also all those who've gone before us, going back in every generation, right back to the time of Jesus, who are now somehow with us in the kingdom of heaven. But also we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses globally. Because, I don't know if you know this, there's something like 2.7 billion Christians in the world today. That is about a third of the world's population. And every year, there's something like 70,000 people somewhere in the world making a commitment of faith as you are making this morning. So as you do that, remember you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we're here to be with you, to pray for you, to encourage you, and may God strengthen you and love you and use you in the years that lie ahead. Thank you. So we stand, we pray, and the prayer is in the order of service. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself, and so bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask you to anoint us with your Holy Spirit, to clothe us with that power from on high, that we might see your glory all around us, and that we might know your love in our hearts. And we ask this because we can, praying in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. I don't know if they still have that rhyme at school. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Do they still say that? Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about you, but my experience has always been that actually it does hurt. When people call you names, it does hurt, and it hurts very much because, of course, it strikes right at the heart of who you think you are. And people are very clever, and they notice things about you, and they pick on that particular thing to strike at the heart of who they think you are. But the truth that the rhyme's trying to get at actually is that there's much more to you than any of that. Each one of us here in this church, and each one of you about to be confirmed, are absolutely unique, unrepeatable, and utterly loved by God. And God knows each one of you, by name. Just think about that. Just think about your name. And just think for a moment about how he knows you. He has known you by name ever since you were in the womb. In East Africa, where we were before we came to live here, names have lovely meanings. Sometimes they're biblical, and sometimes they are names parents name a child after an aspiration they might have for the child, or something they think they see in the child. And sometimes they are spot on. My friend in Addis, called Alex, his full name is Alamayu, which means I have seen the world. And he's now been here to England, and he's been to Egypt, and he's now actually living in the United States of America. An Ethiopian friend of ours, living here in Reading, is called Melisech, which means she came back. And another friend of ours, who migrated to Las Vegas, I hope she's safe, migrated to Las Vegas a few years ago, is called Sinkinesh, and her name means she's a packed lunch. Yeah, I know, I can't make sense of that either. And after 9 years working in Ethiopia, my Sudanese friends gave me a newer cattle name. My name in the newer tribe is Nyal Dieng, which means white with a patch of red. So names really do mean something. And in the Bible, of course, names mean absolutely everything. In the Psalms, we're told that God named each star by name. And there are billions of stars. In Genesis, Adam, the first man, is invited to name all the living creatures upon earth. And later on, of course, in the Old Testament, we come upon Jacob, whose name means usurper, and that's exactly what he did to his brother. And we meet Benjamin, whose name means son of my right hand. And we read the writings of the prophet Isaiah, as we did a moment ago, and his name means may God save. Names mean everything in the Bible, and to be nameless is to be worthless. A dreadful thing, a truly terrible thing. And yet, of course, nobody, but absolutely nobody, is allowed to know the name of the living God. Because if we did know the name of the living God, he would cease to be God. So whenever God is asked what his name is, he just simply says, I am who I am. You can't pin God down. You can't box him up to reduce him whenever you want him. God is who God is. He's bigger than anything we can ever imagine. And at the same time, he is closer to us than our breath. Now, why am I telling you all that? I'm telling you all that because in a few moments' time, just before I lay my hands on you and pray for you for the gift of God's Holy Spirit, I'm going to look right at you and I'm going to say your name, and I hope you've got your name on a card. I'm going to say your name and I'm going to say, God has called you by name and he has made you his own. And in that moment, please, I'd like you to remember that God knows you intimately. He knows you inside out, upside down, back to front, every way that you could think of, all the ways in which you don't even know yourself. God knows you, and God loves you. I'd like you to know that God has been waiting for you all your life. God has been waiting for each one of us, actually, all our lives. And sometimes, even when we've known him and we've strayed a bit, he still waits for us to come back. He's always, if you like, the beggar at the gate, longing to be let in. It says in Psalm 139 that God knit you together in your mother's womb. God did that. We know the biology, but God did that. And you've been as special to him since that very moment. And so we are here, we all are, and he is delighted in you today that you're making this step that you're taking. And for us as Christians, well, of course, God has both a name and a face, doesn't he? The name of Jesus, Jesus the Christ. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, not only knows each one of us by name, but we can know him too. That's the whole point. In a way that nobody in the Old Testament could ever have known him. And the truth is that he loves us more than anybody else that we know. That's an outrageous thing to say, but he does. He loves us more than your parents do. He loves us more than our spouses do. It's outrageous, it sounds outrageous, but it's God we're talking about here. And God is wild about us, ecstatic about us. And Isaiah tells us that your name is written on the palm of his hands. Your name, my name, all our names. Not in some kind of massive confusion of names, but so that each one is there as if it was the only one that really mattered. So he always longs for the best for you. And today he's going to commission you. He's going to call you. He's going to commission you as we commission officers in the British Army. He's going to commission you to honour and glorify his name, the name of Jesus, in all you are and all you do. And believe me, I know from personal experience, it takes a lifetime to live that out. But today is the first step in an amazing journey as you discover more and more each day what he means to you and what he has in store for you. Because God has called you by name and we are baptized into his name, and his name is utterly precious. Because his name, the name of Jesus, means he who saves. He who saves. And so his name is above every name. We sing that, we pray that, we declare that. It was in his name that the sick were healed. It was in his name that the hungry were fed. And the outcasts were invited in. And do you know what? He longs to minister to us too, this morning, to feed us and to welcome us today and every day in his name, into his presence, that we might witness to his name, the name of Jesus. And we can know that he will keep us safe in all of that. And so let me just read that little bit of Isaiah again, and hear this as if this God is saying this to you directly. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, a name, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Just spend a moment in quiet prayer, just reflecting on whatever it is that God has given you and said to you or reminded you of in these last few moments. Heavenly Father, thank you that you call each one of us by name, and that by your Spirit you form us to become the people that you long for us to be, for the sake of your beautiful, peaceable kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I please just ask those of you who are about to be confirmed just to stand where you are, and then just turn around to face the congregation so they can all see exactly who you are. These are people who you know by name really well, but each of them is going to make this massive commitment, this step of faith in their lives right now. And I'd like you, as we go further into the service, to be praying for each one of them, please, that they will know how much they're loved and that they will know and hear God's call in their lives. Thank you. Now, turn back and face me, please. I've got two questions to ask you that I had to ask you. And the answers are actually in the order of service, and they're not difficult. And please, let's hear your answers with a nice, loud voice. So I ask you first, have you been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready with your own mouth and from your own heart to affirm your faith in Jesus Christ? Thank you.
I must say it's been an absolute delight to prepare these nine for confirmation. It's been a real blessing to me. And when you came today, you should have been given a copy of the faith stories, which is their testimonies. But three of them are going to bless us all this morning by sharing their testimony with us. So can I ask Chloe, Amy, and Nathan to come up, please?
I've always considered myself a Christian from as soon as I could understand the stories told in children's groups. I was baptised here and have grown up in this church, as many people here today know and who have been with me throughout my childhood. I came to church most Sundays and always went to children's groups, right from the old baby creche through to Pathfinders. I'd learn the Bible stories, I'd pray in church, sing the songs, and gradually began to understand the basic concepts of my faith. I knew that if I did something wrong, I could go to God and ask for forgiveness. I knew that if I was unhappy, that God still loved me, so everything would be okay. But I don't feel that I understood what this could all mean for me, and it wasn't until I was about 14 that I began to build my personal relationship with God. At that time, I began to experience issues with friendships. There was one particular person whom my relationship with wasn't going the way that I wanted it to, and to begin with, I felt like I couldn't express what I wanted to anyone, and so I turned to prayer. Whenever I was feeling down, I talked to God about my problems and asked for help and guidance. Eventually, God answered my prayers by giving me the courage to tell other people how I was feeling. I talked through my problems with my friend and eventually confided in my family. Since then, my mum has been my rock, and as I pray to God, he gives his answers through my mum. Things still didn't work out the way I wanted them, and as I felt more and more down about the whole situation, my mum would always say to me, "God has a plan for you. Follow his plan." This always made me realise that I was trying to control my plan when really I should just step back and listen to God's plan. This constant reminder to follow God's path for me led me to look further into and to understand more about the faith that I believe in. In taking a more active role in the church by flower arranging, doing the readings and taking children's groups, I have felt closer to God and more inclined to strengthen my faith. I now feel God's presence in all aspects of my life and take a conscious effort to appreciate all that he has done, is doing and will do for me and the world I live in. Now, whenever I feel down or upset, I know I can turn to God, and in prayer, I feel at peace knowing that God has a plan for me. Although I still have the issues I had when I was 14, they are less painful, and I am learning to deal with them by trusting in God's plan. Everything that God gives to me is for a reason, and through these problems, God gave me an opportunity to strengthen my faith and to build strong relations with him and with my family and friends around me. I hope to continue to strengthen my faith and to begin to share my faith with others, so that they may or may continue to feel the sense of hope and stability I have gained by turning to Christ.
I grew up learning about Christianity as my mum and grandma are both Christians, which meant I started to go to church with them. I absolutely loved it and still do because it's like a huge family. As I got older, I started to understand things in more detail and was quite intrigued. I loved to worship and was very talkative about faith when it came to Sunday school. One of the turning points in my faith was going to Christian camps in the summer, which helped me build more confidence in not only my faith, but I felt quite comfortable in sharing with others. In that camp, a few of my friends and I encountered the Holy Spirit, which filled me with plenty of emotions and left me feeling completely overwhelmed, and it was one of the best days of my life. I felt like God was asking me if I was ready to give myself to him, and I knew that I couldn't say no. I felt a weight lifted off my shoulders, like everything bad I had ever done was now completely forgiven, and I was sin-free. Even though I was christened as a baby and was a Christian through family, I want to make this decision for myself. I want to be able to say that it is my choice and be proud of it. I want to say that I am 100% given to God.
Good morning. Most of you probably know already, but my name's Nathan, and I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian family, quite a big Christian family, and I had lots of role models growing up to look up to. And I don't really see my Christian journey, I don't really see a single step, but more just a continued sort of development of my faith, from originally learning about it in school to just sort of learning more and more and being more inquisitive. And from quite a young age, going to Reading School, I was in quite an intellectually challenging environment in terms of religion. A lot of people in my peer group are not Christians. Not only are they not Christians, they're atheists. Not only are they atheists, but they dislike Christians. So RS lessons were always fun. I would lots of the time be asked difficult questions about my faith and have to confront gaps in my faith and work out how I could move on from them. And that was a real challenge, but it really strengthened my belief in my faith. I then went on to preach on a Sunday morning on a couple of times at church, and that was a real sort of big step, because I'd had the idea sort of to have this youth-led service, and I'd done it, and that was a real moment. I felt that connection with God, and looking back, that sermon was, all right. but it was a really good experience, and so for me, this is why I don't see confirmation necessarily as my standing up and saying this is my faith, because I think I've already done that in part. But for me, confirmation is also about empowerment. And when I was at New Wine 1 year, I heard a rather, worrying statistic in one of the youth groups, and that was that it is more likely that you would have survived the Titanic than you survive university as a Christian. And I think that's gotten worse. I think that statistic has gotten worse, because we live in a society now that is not about, helping others. It's not about, being loving and kind. It's about instant gratification. It's about doing stuff for yourself. And I think at university, I'm going to have the same problems as I did at Reading. It's just they're, in theory, more intellectual people to asking me the questions. and although I am not for a moment doubting my faith, I do not think I'm going to lose my faith when I go to uni. I am worried that I'll get lazy with it. I'm worried that I won't have the same passion. I'm worried that when I get bombarded with questions every day from people going, why on earth do you believe that, that I'll just eventually go, I just do. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to lose that sort of that fire and passion. So I'm here today not because I think that saying certain words at certain times is going to, really make me a great Christian, but I'm here because I want to say to you that I really need your help. Not just now, but for the rest of my time, especially at uni, I need you guys to pray for me, because it's going to be a challenge, and I really want to stay passionate for God through it. Thank you.
It takes some courage to stand up and say those things. So please do pray for all our candidates and read through their stories. Thank you.
Thank you.